Dude, my guests are so accomplished that their bios are like so long that I can't catch my breath when I'm trying to read them. So like I end up being like taking
Maybe work on your aerobic exercises.
It's
What?
not about me not being fit enough. I'm not gonna go run stairs so that I could. It's just that they have all these accomplishments and I'm like, I'm grasping for breath at the end of it.
You should get people that are less accomplished.
No, I don't think that's the answer either.
To stand your ground.
Two, three, four.
Hi, I'm Becca Clegg, and this is the Inner Alchemy Podcast. Join me in conversations with some of my favorite healers and helpers as we explore all the ways we can restore balance within ourselves. The world heals one person at a time, and the healing starts now. Hi, and welcome. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the healing power of nutrition. So the saying goes, you are what you eat. Well, is that true? We're going to be exploring this and doing a deep dive on all things nutrition with my friend and colleague, Robin Goldberg. Robin is an RDN, CEDRD, in private practice in Beverly Hills, California. Robin began her career at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles as the inpatient dietitian in the Department of Cardiology. Over the past 23 years, she's developed her own practice in Beverly Hills, California, where she specializes in disordered eating, eating disorders, health at every size, medical conditions, individuals in recovery, and pregnancy nutrition. Robin has made appearances on national television shows and is a nationally known speaker in the eating disorder community, promoting positive body image, size diversity, and shedding light on weight stigma. Robin is the author of the book, The Eating Disorder Trap, and the host of her own podcast, The Eating Disorder Trap Podcast. We're really excited to have you on the show. Welcome, Robin.
Becca, thank you for having me. And I just want to give a shout out that you and I had a wonderful episode on my podcast that's been getting a lot of feedback. So that would be great to include in the show notes when we're done, so individuals will have access to you and I chatting another time.
Good idea. Yeah, Robin, I have had the joy of interacting with Robin for a while, as we are clearly colleagues in the same field. And it's funny because we met because we had a mutual client and we were just on a phone call. And we just happened to connect on the phone and realized we had so much in common. And we've been friends ever since. So it's kind of nice to see this come full circle. And thank you so much for being on with us today, because what you do is so important. And the way that nutrition plays a role in healing, and not just healing the body, but healing the mind, the spirit. It's such an important topic that I want people to have more access to. So I'm just really excited to talk to you about all of that today. Just tell us a little bit about you. Like, what brought you into the field? Like, why do you love what you do so much?
I chose the field of dietetics early on in my career based on my family history of heart disease. My dad was alive at the time, and hereditarily, actually all family members, myself included, we all have high cholesterol. All grandparents when they were alive, all aunts, all uncles, and I always grew up hearing about high cholesterol and heart disease. So in the early days, it was based on my father, and I started my career at a major medical center in Los Angeles. In fact, the medical center is called Cedars-Sinai, and that is where the COVID vaccine is currently being housed.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was the cardiac dietitian there for 5 years. And when I had interviewed for that position, my father was admitted as a full cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. So that was the initial point. And you know, prior to that, I was a college tennis player, being an athlete my whole life. I thought, well, perhaps if I actually observe my intake, that could have a positive spin on my performance within tennis. And I had had a few roommates in college, all with eating disorders, which was actually what introduced me to that area of interest and expertise as well.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting how, regardless of the path most people that I talk to who have this real passion for the work that they do, there is some part of it that has like a crossover with their own story, you know, and how closely the work that we do and our lives are just intertwined. But I didn't know that about the virus. It's being developed at Cedars-Sinai, huh?
Well, it's being stored.
About the virus, the vaccine.
Yes.
It's being stored.
Yes. It's the famous medical center in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So yes, it's the big, big news right now going on in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Robin, will you share a little bit with our audience about the way in which the food you eat, nutrition, and all the other variables is linked to more than just the health of the body? Like, that's the real message here, is how critical what we eat is to our emotional health and well-being. And since you're the expert, like, what's your take on that?
I think it's very spot on, Becca, is, you know, one of the pieces people don't realize when maybe they don't eat regularly, an individual has a difficult time with decisions. They're easily indecisive, or they change their mind. A standard question that someone would ask you or a friend, they could say, oh, sure, you know what? I could be here at such and such time, or this is the next date I can get together. An individual has a difficult time picking a date, picking a time. Also, their sleep hygiene is problematic. It's sporadic. It's inconsistent. It's not restful. Again, if you don't eat regularly or have real food, if you're eating a lot of what I would call fun food or play food, you might find, well, my sleep is problematic. My decision making's difficult, as well as problems with concentration. That's a big one. Whether it's reading a book, whether it's being engaged in a conversation, whether it's being in school or watching a TV show, having a hard time to connect and focus is a big one. Another, I would say, is easily being very emotional. You can cry easily, you could have a tantrum. It's not a stable and level mood when an individual is either lacking nutrition or lacking regularity with their nutrition. And emotional outbreaks where moods, you know, a person might be mistaken for having a personality disorder because they're screaming, they're crying, they're silent. It's an emotional roller coaster. And these are just some of the ways that lacking nutrition and eating regularly can impact one's emotional health.
Everything you're saying, I'm loving for because I think this message has to get out to every single person. I just hope so many people can hear this. But I'm sitting here thinking, oh, yeah, that might explain what's going on with me this week. Because I have just had one of those busy weeks where I have been, you know, finding myself rushing and kind of like, you know, fitting in food in between busy tasks and whatnot. And my sleep has been off. And so, I mean, it really is something that I think, even though perhaps, you know, you might know this, we forget so easily just how vital nutrition is, you know? So thank you from the bottom of my heart for that.
Of course. I just wanted to say it's very critical. And I remember early on in my career when I was building my private practice, I mean, to this day, I always block out a lunch break for myself. These days, it's a 30-minute lunch break. And that was what I've always done. But I remember back when I would go on vacation and like the couple weeks leading up to the vacation, sometimes the lunch break didn't happen. And I found it didn't affect me the way I want to say other colleagues of mine are affected that mm-hmm. never took out lunch breaks. But mm-hmm. I would have a session, like I would schedule it when I knew maybe I'd be having a snack with someone like soon thereafter. And then, so you know what, I'm still going to eat, you know, more. And they were like, fine, because I think it allowed them to see I'm normal. I eat mm-hmm. and this is it. But I think it's very common, Becca, that many clinicians don't block out a lunch break other than when they are off work. And I have a lunch break every single day. I know I would be doing myself and the client a disservice. They wouldn't be getting 150% of me. And I like to give everything I have.
Well, you know, this is full disclosure time, but I am one of those clinicians. I can be guilty of not taking a lunch break. And in the spirit of it, it's about to be a new year. And I'm thinking of all the ways that I want to show up and up level. You just inspired me to block out a lunch break, Robin. So absolutely. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, it's something you know, but it's just one of those things that can get so easily, I can get so easily sidetracked, which kind of brings me to a point. I really think, in fact, you're making the point that I wanted to weave into this conversation. And that is the way in which nutrition and our relationship with food, the interplays with being out of balance in life. And, you know, here I am talking about how last week I was really out of balance. I was way too busy. And you know what? Until this conversation, I didn't even realize, but I wasn't taking a lunch break. Like, I was not intentionally giving myself time for food. And we all fall into that trap. I mean, in some way, shape, or form, it's hard to maintain complete balance. But what do you see, like, with the people you work with around nutrition and our relationship with food and living an imbalanced life? And how do you think that's related?
I think not blocking out time to eat can be a byproduct of a lack of worthiness and self-care. And when I bring up to clients blocking out a lunch break, like, I'm thinking of one particular client who's a physician, and she will say, no, sometimes a last minute patient is booked, or I want to get my charting done so I can get home to my kids earlier. And I really find, again, for me, I look forward to having that time. I mean, the interesting part is now that I'm home, I'm not bringing a Tupperware the way I had, because I would go out to lunch a couple days a week, and then 3 days a week I would bring my lunch or take out if I was having a session with a client. But I find it's a way for me to get recharged, and I don't do anything when I'm eating. I'm not reading. I'm not checking email. I'm just sitting with myself. So I think from the perspective of balance, I think I owe it to myself to just chillax and eat something and just take in just the time of me before I'm being of service to every other person, like putting out all these fires.
Well, I think you just made two really great points that I really want the audience to take away. First and foremost is you brought up this idea of it being worthiness. And what was interesting is when you did, I thought, did I not consider myself worthy last week? And the truth is I probably didn't. And the point I want to make to the audience is, this podcast is about how healing is so critical for every single human. And that includes me. That includes every therapist, every doctor, every person that maybe sits in, you know, a wellness position. None of us can get out of the need to take better care of ourselves and or the trap of living in a society that just is really imbalanced. So that idea of, oh yeah, I really am worth it is so critical. And the other part of it is the mindful eating element of when you're eating, just eat. That is a concept I don't think a lot of people have come across, but it is really powerful. And as Robin was sharing, chillax, like, it really is a kind way to take care of yourself. I mean, that's an action step right there. It's just carving that time out.
Well, and perhaps with your listeners, they will be able to think about how they want to reformulate their work life since being home in a pandemic. I did this before, but I see even being virtual 100% of the time right now, I can't wait for my lunch break. Before, I'd say, oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now I'm like, oh, yeah, two more clients, and then I get to have lunch.
Yeah, it is amazing how our perspective is so different and how lunch breaks up the day like that, you know, with us, with the four walls being the same, so to speak. But so this kind of brings me to something I like to ask my guests when they're on the show, and that is, how do you utilize this in your own life? Like, what is your favorite way to use either nutrition or your relationship with food when you realize you need some self-care?
I like to cook, mm-hmm. and I like to develop new recipes. And it occurred to me, you know, I have a whole wall in my kitchen of a variety of cookbooks. I thought, oh, maybe in the next couple of weeks over the Christmas, New Year's week, I'll take out one of those cookbooks. But I'm really an intuitive cook. I mean, even last night, I think of all these things I threw together and I just had for lunch. I'm like, this was amazing. So I like to approach food that way. I mean, one of the things that I really miss is when traveling, it would force us, my husband and I, to be exposed and try new foods. Not that I don't try new foods now, but being in a pandemic, it's like, okay, we're getting takeout a few different places. We're very selective where, whereas when I would travel, whether I'm in India or Japan or New Zealand, it's like, okay, this is what I'm trying. And I really think that was such a huge part of my self-care before. Yeah. So now it's the cooking. And like this morning, you know, I baked all this cornbread for him because he's always asking for the cornbread. So I just bake a lot at one time.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I am, and this is something I've just come to terms with, I myself am not a cook. However, everyone I know who cooks or bakes does describe it as healing. It is like their own, the process of it. There's, I mean, it's like you have a relationship with it, and that it can be very meditative and mindful. So I hear that a lot. And that's cool. I appreciate your husband's love for cornbread. I too love cornbread.
Great.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to kind of circle back to something you were saying about how sometimes if you're eating fun food, you can not get enough nutrition, which is, of course, the truth. But I think, you know, one of the things you do so well, Robin, is you kind of present, you know, kind of, you do present the anti-diet message. And that's another thing that you and I have in common is really wanting to help kind of get the word out about dieting and being on a diet and diet food is not necessarily healthy either. And that's something that if you haven't heard of Robin's book, you have now. And I really suggest everybody who has an interest in any kind of disordered eating pattern, really go check that out because it is such a good book. And what I think a lot of people listening might not realize is just because you may not think you have an eating disorder doesn't mean that perhaps your relationship with dieting or food isn't slightly disordered. And there is a difference, but a lot of people will think they're getting the nutrition they need and eating healthy because they're on a diet when actually they're depriving their body of food. Do you see that a lot?
All the time. In fact, one of my social media posts, I was just creating a bunch of them this morning, and one of them is actually about this, being able to have real chips, real rice, real pasta, not seaweed crackers, not cauliflower noodles. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is that they're not as sustaining, but also we kind of like trick our mind like, oh, these taste so delicious. And this tastes just like a potato chip. And this tastes just like rice. I mean, I think a client said it to me beautifully. And that is, did you ever hear of a pizza wanting to be a cauliflower?
Right. No.
So I think part of the problem is there are so many, I'm going to call them strange foods. And like, look, I've had a flax chip. It's okay, but I still would much rather have a pita chip or a tortilla chip and such. So some of these foods, I think the problem is that our cravings become more and more intense because we're denying ourselves of what our body needs. And between, you know, all these neurotransmitters in our brain to achieve a place of satisfaction and satiety, it's very difficult to achieve that when we're having all these fake wannabe foods.
Mm, yeah. So what I'm hearing is that all foods fit, right? So it's like not instead of, but as well as. If you like zucchini noodles, fine, but have them as well as the real noodle, and have a whole variety of foods that you have access to so that your body doesn't go into that deprivation syndrome, which I'll probably have a podcast unto itself just about that. But, you know, and that is such an important message that I really just want people to hear from an expert, from a dietitian, because I just, that message just isn't out there enough. So one of the things about the Inner Alchemy podcast that is really important to me is that people understand that healing is actually fun. And I think for many people, there is this idea that it's hard work or it's some kind of an arduous process. And so the idea of having access to all foods is actually fun. You know, if you're allowed to eat all foods, then you don't have to be so afraid of food. And, you know, I know you're out in the West Coast in Beverly Hills. Do you see people with a fear of food? I mean, is that something that, you know, I think culturally we see it everywhere, but is that something you see a lot of?
All the time. Yeah. Exclamation mark, double exclamation mark.
I always think about you out there, about how you're probably, I mean, you are living in the like epicenter of that sort of health centric cultural message.
Orthorexia.
Right?
Yes. For such sure. A thing. A lot of these wannabe foods.
Yes, right. Wannabe foods. I love that. So, Robin, in the spirit of fun, I want to do a rapid fire round just so the audience can get to know you a little bit more. And so
I feel like I'm on a game show.
I know you are. It is. So
game shows.
Well, then let's have a go at it and see how this goes. And look, there is no right or wrong answer. So we'll just have a little bit of fun, but I don't even know these answers and I know you, but what is your favorite, what's your favorite band or singer and why?
Prince.
Really? I did not know that. Why?
Well, he's authentic. Mm. What you see is what you get. He has a lot. Well, he had a lot of awesome energy, upbeat music. And even if you don't like to dance, it's a feeling that you would want to dance and move your body.
Yes. Now that makes sense knowing you, but that's cool. That's cool. All right. Number two. Da-da-da-da. What is one big item still on your bucket list?
To go on my cycling trip through Israel that was canceled because of COVID.
Oh my gosh. You were almost there. Oh.
Well, to elaborate on it, my goal, I've been to almost every country, and my goal is to go everywhere once.
Oh, wow. I love that. I love that too. That is super cool. I absolutely love that. I bet you do. Yeah. Add it to the list of things we miss. I know. Okay. So number three is still fun, but a little bit more introspective. What is one piece of advice you would give your 14-year-old self?
Probably what my father used to say to me, and that is, don't be so serious. I'm a very serious person. You know, I take life seriously. I mean, I look at, for tennis, it's like you have to be serious to get to that level, to get the job you want, to excel as a professional. And, you know, my husband is a funny goofball and I'm a very serious person. So to lighten up, I think I have a funny side, but I'm just like a very serious person.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you had a very smart dad too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Robin, thank you so much for being on. This has been such a good conversation. And I just want you to take a minute to share with the audience how they can learn more about your work in the world and how they can connect to you.
Thank you. My website is askaboutfood.com. That is my main website. My book website is theeatingdisordertrap.com. And by the way, on both of those, I will be an audiobook very soon here, but everything about my book, ebook, paperback book, my podcast is on that. I'm on Instagram as Robin with a Y Goldberg RDN and Twitter at Robin with a Y RDN.
And for those of you who are interested in knowing just more about the sort of nutrition and tips and tricks, go to Robin's website and sign up for her newsletter. I get it. I'm on her list and it's always so informative, Robin. I mean, you fill that thing with like such good information, like research. And anyway, if you have an interest in feeding your body what it needs, that is the newsletter you want to sign up for. So
thank you. And I just want to say about the newsletter, it alternates between something body image / eating disorder and something medical as well. And lastly, for a variety of topics, I didn't mention my podcast, the Eating Disorder Trap Podcast, which is available on iTunes, Spotify, and all platforms where podcasts are available.
Okay. You know, I never realized that, Robin. I get your newsletter all the time, but you know what? I was like, oh, well, yeah, no, that actually makes sense. But who in this world cannot use body image and or nutrition? I think, as you know, every single person under the sun could use that. So, well, listen, Robin, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. This was a fun conversation.
Thank you for having me. I miss you and I hope I'll see you.
Absolutely. I miss you too. And can't wait for the vaccine to be out so we can see each other again soon.
Okay, well, in closing, I want to go ahead and remind you of three things you can do if you should so choose. Number one is subscribe to this podcast. That way you can be in the know about all the new episodes we release as we release them. Number two is give this podcast a 5-star review if you like the episode and you feel we earned it. Our goal is to bring these conversations about emotional health and healing to more and more people, so we could use your help in telling more and more people about the show. And number three is do yourself a favor. Head over to my website, RebeccaClegg.com, and download the free ebook, all about finding and reclaiming balance. In this world and in these times, I don't know anybody that couldn't use some pointers on that. And as always, a huge thank you to Dawn and Claire, better known as the Ormwoods, for donating their single, Hope Pray Sing, as the soundtrack for the Inner Alchemy podcast. You can check out their music and videos at their website, theormwoods.com.